Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host Damon, and today for our episode, it's going to be a little bit different. We have a roundtable discussion with Kyle Onuma and Henry Chi. Welcome, guys.
What's up, Damon?
Hey, how's it going?
So, a few weeks ago, Henry had actually brought to our attention a topic that God has been highlighting to him recently, and we've been wrestling with it. We've been working through it, and Kyle and I are actually going to have a biblical worldview class on it in the future. But we wanted to invite Henry on to do a little bit of a roundtable discussion because he's the one that God highlighted it to in the first place. So, Henry, can you give us a little bit of an update or share with us what the topic that we're going to be talking about today is?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to do that. First of all, I just wanted to thank you both, Damon and Kyle, for bringing these classes to Catalyst and really just making our church aware of what's happening out in the world. And then just your love for the word and the truth, and to really help us understand how important it is these days to know Bible, know scripture, know the word of God, to know the real Jesus, and to challenge us to go and search for that and to understand God's word and God's heart. So I just want to thank you both for that. So this topic, I think, is one of those topics that really requires us to be in the Word, to know the Word, to understand the Word, and accept the true Word of God. And this particular topic that I brought to Damon and Kyle is progressive Christianity.
Yeah, so after Henry had brought it to us and said, hey, I think this would be a good topic for a biblical worldview class, we had actually been wrestling with it and thought maybe this is something that we should introduce on the podcast and just to get people a little bit of an understanding of what progressive Christianity is and to kind of whet people's tongues for it and hopefully get some people to come out to our biblical worldview class that wouldn't normally come out. So I think we need to understand what is progressive Christianity and is that different than, you know, being progressive or having progressive viewpoints? So let me throw that out to you guys. Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the interesting part is you have that word progressive and people have different views on what that is and what it isn't. So, for this, it's not limited to just people with progressive views. And progressive views are fine. There's conservative views, progressive views in Christianity, and there's diversity there. But this is actually more, I don't know, I hesitate to say the word cult, but it's kind of like that. It's a separate movement. It's more than just the views. It's like a whole different belief system. So that's kind of my take on it. How about you, Henry?
Yeah. I think it's really interesting because there's a merging of the word progressive and the word Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of people see is they see the word Christianity and they go, oh, I'm a Christian. And then they realize they do talk about Bible, they do talk about Jesus, they talk about God, they talk about God's love, they talk about the teachings of Jesus. It's a church, there's a pastor, there's usually some sort of Christian background, so it seems really Christian. But then when you add the word progressive, I think a lot of people think, oh, we're modernizing Christianity. We're bringing Christianity up to date and being relevant to the culture. And what we're going to do is we're going to get rid of all the old baggage, the old traditions, the old thoughts, and we're going to make it applicable to the way we live our life here in the modern world. Mm-hmm. So it sounds really appealing that we're applying Christianity to the modern world. But when you actually peel it back, and one of the things you're going to learn about progressive Christianity is words matter, mm-hmm. definitions matter,
yeah, for sure.
Assumptions and values behind these words matter. What you realize is there's actually an ideology that is based more on inclusion, diversity, social justice, the teachings of Jesus versus the salvation and the redemption that we have in Jesus. And then you'll see the differences and that it's really not the biblical Christian tradition or biblical Christianity that we have been taught through the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think for a lot of people, especially in our culture today and especially living in California like we do, it's very easy for us to hear the word progressive and think that's a really good thing. But really, what we're discovering as we've been working through and studying more and looking into progressive Christianity is that it doesn't necessarily mean progressive values, it means something totally different.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as we've done these biblical worldview classes, it's been eye-opening for me to like learn about these different topics. And this is another one. I've heard some of the topics, but really, you know, hearing about deconstructing, that's kind of what you were mentioning earlier. It's like wanting to deconstruct the history and the way things have been taught before, because those come with baggage. And so we want to deconstruct it, and we're going to reconstruct it in light of today's views. And so really, it's that was, seeing that side of it was very eye-opening for me, and it kind of helped me understand of where they're coming from and where they're trying to go to.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And particularly with the deconstruction, it's recognizing that there's harm or hurts or damage that have been done to people, either by the church or church's ideology or by the Bible, and then a push to want to deconstruct all that and then rebuild it in a way that is, in the progressive Christian term, based purely on love and inclusion and acceptance. The problem with that, though, it starts to then lead into thoughts around universalism or Unitarianism, which basically starts to sound like, well, everybody's saved through grace. Everybody's saved by Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he saved everybody. And then when that happens, then it starts to cheapen or lessen the message of salvation in Jesus' death on the cross, and our call to put our trust and our faith in that.
Yeah, and it's very different from what we've been learning as a church in terms of the curriculum that we went through with Messy Grace, where it's holding tightly to the truth and then also holding tightly to grace. It seems like this is, you know, letting go of the truth and moving more towards grace and saying that that grace is actually love, but really what they're talking about is grace and not love. So Henry actually brought in a piece of paper where he printed out from progressivechristianity.org some of the core values and core tenets of what progressive Christianity is. So Henry, can you share some of those so that we can give our listeners a little bit of an understanding of like what are the core values of progressive Christianity?
Yes, I absolutely can. But first, I just want to say something a little interesting. When I first told my kids I was coming on this podcast, and they said, "Oh, cool, you'll be on the podcast. What are you going to talk about?" And I said, "Progressive Christianity." And words matter, because you know what they thought progressive Christianity was? They thought it was Christians who sold insurance. So they were like, "Oh, are these the guys who sell insurance for progressive, but they're Christian?" And I said, "No," right? So it's just interesting to highlight that words really mean different things to different people.
Right.
And so if one thing that I learned, particularly looking at their at the Progressive Christian website, so I went on to progressivechristianity.org, progressivechristianity.org, and then I just looked at their eight points. They call it 8 points, 8 things that kind of unify their beliefs. And then when I look at it, I go, at first glance, you go, these aren't bad. In fact, I might actually agree with some of these, and I actually like some of these. And what you realize is there's such a draw for people, particularly, I think, for the younger generation that has seen lots of things happen, like racial discrimination, hatred, a Great Recession, COVID, the news, you know, different things like that. Such a draw. And what you realize in here is words matter. For example, number one, the number one point in progressive Christianity is they believe that following the path and teachings of Jesus can lead to an awareness and experience of the sacred and the oneness and unity of all life. And at first glance, you go, that sounds good. I believe life is sacred. I believe we're all connected and one in some way. I want to be unified to people in some sort of peace or harmony. And I believe Jesus taught that. So you look at number one, you go, that sounds really good. I kind of like this church. I like what they're talking about. But what you don't realize is undergirding all of that, it's highlighting Jesus' teachings versus the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins because we're separated from God, because we're sinners, and it's his blood sacrifice that reconciles us back to him. So they jump right past that and just say, well, Jesus taught love, Jesus taught mercy. So Jesus is basically just boiled down to a great teacher versus one of the persons of the Godhead who saved us with his blood, who redeemed us completely. right? And by putting our faith in him, we are saved. So that's one of the first issues. And then one of the second issues is that use of sacred oneness, unity of all life. You want to ask the progressive Christian, what does that mean? And what you'll find out is it's actually starting to go towards pantheism, which is God is in everything, and everything is God, and the universe is God, which then starts to sound like New Age philosophy.
Right.
So words really matter, because the way we might define unity in the body of Christ is different than the way a progressive Christian would define unity in the body of Christ. Right. So words matter.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other topics or of those points that stood out to you that you wanted to highlight for the group?
Oh, there's a whole bunch here. I think probably one of the ones that's going to resonate the most with people, particularly given our environment and given the news, is point number three. Seeking community that is inclusive of all people, including but not limited to conventional Christians and questioning skeptics, believers and agnostics, men and women, those of all sexual orientations and gender identities, those of all classes and abilities. So I'm like, actually, that sounds kind of nice, right? It sounds nice. Like, we're going to accept everybody. Everybody's included. You get to come and share your opinion. You get to share your thoughts. But what we have to realize, too, is these points, they don't all stand alone. Mm-hmm. They actually work together. So point number three actually goes with point number two, which says, they affirm that the teachings of Jesus provide but one of many ways to experience the sacredness and oneness of life, and that we can draw from but diverse sources of wisdom in our spiritual journey. So two and three actually go together. If you read three by itself, you go, I like that.
Right.
That sounds good. I want to be part of a loving, accepting community. Except when you realize number two, right before it says, there's many ways to God.
Right.
There's many ways to salvation. It's all acceptable. You have your experience. You have your truth. We're going to exchange that, and we're going to learn from each other, and we're all going to get there.
Yeah.
And you go, wait a minute. Three with number two, that doesn't sound right.
Right.
And you start to realize that there is a subtle deception going on here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So this is our first roundtable discussion, and we're sitting here pointing at each other.
Who's next?
So there might be some downtime just because we're trying to figure out how the flow is supposed to go. With some of these ways that we're understanding that words matter and the language matters, it does seem like some of the words they're intentional about putting them in this order and with the wording that they do, so that it sounds really good and makes it so that it's palatable to people and making them want to be a part of it without understanding that there is something more, maybe more devious underneath this whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when just listening to people discuss this and listening to progressive Christian pastors and like them trying to defend their beliefs. It really, you really have to start saying the Bible is not infallible. There's parts of the Bible that are you can interpret the way you want, and you can even discredit them. But there's also things where the absolute truth isn't valued. It's not even something that you can have. And the more you doubt and the more you're a skeptic, actually the closer you are to being enlightened and to being closer to God, because yeah, that's something they value more than trying to find answers. It's just being a skeptic and being doubt, having doubt is actually a good thing.
Yeah, as we've done some more research and looked at some of these videos that actual progressive Christians are sharing, it seems like they value uncertainty and more than truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times they're promoting the teachings of Jesus, but when I hear them, a lot of times it seems like they're not addressing the times where Jesus said, you know, stop your sin and go and sin no more, right? Their focus is on, well, we want to accept everybody. We want everybody to feel comfortable, which I think as believers, we do want to accept and receive everybody. But at the same time, we're not saying it's okay to continue in your sin, right? And that's something that I feel like they're not addressing at all.
Yes, there's an absolute truth in the Bible that we as Christians are relieved and free to discover. I know for me, before I was a Christian, a real Christian, because I grew up in a Christian family, I heard of the truth, but I was always struggling to find what the real truth is and coming to my own conclusions of what that is. And when you do, there's a freedom in that to know, wow, there is an absolute right or wrong. There is an absolute moral or a morality that has been established by a creator who is way bigger and more powerful than us, who designed us, who actually knows how things works. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is just one way of him telling us how things work in what he designed. And knowing that truth actually frees us. Because it's kind of like learning a sport. Once you learn the rules of the sport, you can actually enjoy it and experience freedom in it. Right. And so what you're talking about, Kyle and Damon, is point number five for the progressive Christian, which is find grace in the search for understanding and believe there is more value in questioning mm-hmm. than in absolutes. Mm-hmm. And at first glance, that sounds fine because you're asking questions, and we want people to do that. Like, I want my kids to search. My kids are like, how do I know God's real? Yeah. Why does evil exist? You know, what if there is no heaven when I die? Great questions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what I don't want to do is just leave them there asking questions and then finding every reason to pick apart everybody's answers. I want them to find the truth
right.
and let that truth be a foundation and a grounding in their life versus just going around and asking more questions and then trying to tear apart everybody's answers. And so number five, like you're saying, for them, for the progressive Christian, is there's more value in questioning mm-hmm. and tearing down arguments or tearing down truth. That's more fun than finding an absolute in the truth that directs my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you were sharing, I got the picture of someone playing hide and seek, right? The purpose of hide and seek is to find someone. It's not just to keep seeking, right? And then, you know, the verse comes to mind where it says, you know, seek and you will find, right? God wants us to find him. God wants us to find the truth, not just to continue in our journey and seeking only, but he wants us to find the truth.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought that was funny when you showed that image because I could just see somebody looking for another person and finding them and then closing the door and being like, oh, I just enjoy searching. So I want to be it for longer.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up another question. See, this is kind of fun now. It's roundtable, so I can ask questions too, right?
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's. I think some of the arguments are hard for Christians to come against because it does speak a lot about love. And so that part of it is very real and very true. And it's like you don't want to sound like, oh, I don't want to extend love because God wants us to extend love. But I think it's that overemphasis on love, kind of love and grace. They kind of intermingle those terms, but... What do you guys think then is the downfall of only focusing on God's love? What are people missing out when they do that?
Henry, you want to go first?
Oh boy, let's see. I think a big part of it is God's love and receiving God's love leads us to a freedom that then allows us to accept the truth and embrace the truth and step into that. But if we just sit in God's love, and it's even how we define God's love.
I think
right?
that's a really big
part of it. I think if we want to receive God's love and understand God's love and know God's love, we need to look at the Bible and mm-hmm. see what the Bible says about love. And we have to accept the whole truth of what the Bible's telling us, not just the parts we like. Right? Everybody loves the 1 Corinthians verse, and they'll point it out. Love is kind, love is patient. There's other parts to it, too, that we need to be aware of. For example, I can give you an example of what a progressive Christian might do. One of the things that a progressive Christian might do is pick and choose which parts of the Bible they like. Mm-hmm. And what they'll do is, if I like this because it's loving and it feels good and it resonates with me, then I'm going to accept that part, but I'm going to take out any part that I don't like that feels condemning or judgy or doesn't make me feel good. So can I give an example of one? Yeah. So an example of one, I think, is found in John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. John 3:16 is probably one of the most famous verses, right? So, oh, sorry, I gotta put my. So it's John 3:16 basically says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So a progressive Christian would look at that and say, wow, God loves us so much. See, we're saved. We're all saved. But then if you keep going into 18, it says, whoever believes in him, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So a progressive Christian might look at that and say, oh, I really love 16 and 17. That really resonates. It feels good. Everybody's in. We're all in heaven. We're all accepted. I reject 18 because I don't believe a God who is loving would condemn me just because I don't believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. What about the people who haven't heard about Jesus? Mm-hmm. Is God going to condemn them? That's not fair. Mm-hmm. So they would make that argument. I just can't believe that there would be a God who would do that, would send people to hell for eternity and condemn them mm-hmm. just because they haven't heard him. So I'm going to cross out 18 and not believe that part of the Bible because that doesn't fit with my framework of God, but I like 16 and 17, mm-hmm. right? So that's what we tend to see with the progressive Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I like to think in pictures, and it makes it a little bit more tangible to me. So when I'm thinking about this question about love and continuous acceptance of all things, you know, I think of someone that's playing with matches, right? And they're playing with matches in a forest has full of kindling and really dry wood, and they're just playing with matches. And if I'm standing there and I say, okay, yeah, keep playing with those matches, keep playing with those matches, keep playing with those matches, they might be okay for a little bit, but eventually that whole thing's going to go up in flames. So am I really loving them by continuing to allow them to play with the matches? Or would it be more loving for me to come alongside them in a kind way and say, hey, you probably shouldn't be playing with those matches because if you continue down this path, it's going to lead to destruction and forest fire, right? So I think that's something that people are missing out on when they go down this path of grace without truth, because eventually it's going to erupt into this forest fire that's uncontainable.
Yeah, I mean, that's... kind of the reason I asked that question is I think we miss out on different aspects of God because I think there's an overemphasis on love and a narrow definition of love. Because I think love, you know, we're all parents. Love sometimes is hard. You have to give your kids the hard consequences because it's love. Because if you don't, they're not going to learn from it, right? I see Henry smiling right here. but yeah, so I think people have a hard time seeing God's justice and his holiness and things like that. That's part of his love as well. They think of love as just the touchy-feely good stuff. And those other things are good too, but they don't feel good when they come to us, but the result of it is good for us. And so I think that's where I think progressive Christianity, this movement actually kind of leads people astray because they don't get the fullness of who God is and his character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that too. In fact, just the other day, I think maybe literally 2 days ago, I decided, I think that my kids made me do this, actually. They said, could you please start using the word punishment instead of consequences if you're really giving a punishment? And I had to really buy into this world ideology. No, it's consequences. And they argued with me for a good 30 minutes. And at the end, I said, you're right. It's a punishment. Right? Because they said, you've always talked to us about consequences and natural consequences. And they go, how does taking away my video games, how is that a natural consequence of me not doing the dishes? And I was like, actually, you're right. It's not, but it's still a consequence, right? And they're like, no, it's not. It's a punishment. And then I started to wrestle with it. And I realized, why do I have such a hard time with the word punishment? Mm-hmm. And then I realized, I go, it's because the world doesn't want me to use the word punishment, right? I've been taught in parenting consequences, natural consequences. So I had to start to think about it, and I go, well, does God punish? Because God is love. And then I had to come with the reality, he does. Yep. He punishes, and he gives a lot of grace. He is long-suffering. He is compassionate. He is patient. He is kind. But the Bible tells us there is a judgment that's coming. There will be a time where we will all be judged, and there is a punishment that comes with it. So just literally 2 or 3 days ago, I started to sing to my kids, all right, there's your punishment. And I felt okay saying it because I wanted them to realize that there are times where you are behaving not good. Mm-hmm. You are doing things that are wrong. And if you do, there is a punishment that comes with it. It's not all natural consequences.
Right, but they know your punishment is coming from love. They're, because you're trying to get them to see a better way to either do things or see things or behave as a family unit or whatever, right? So it's coming from a place of love. But yeah, I agree. Oftentimes that word punishment does and love don't go together, right? It's hard. It's like a disconnect in our brains.
Yes, yes. Yeah, hopefully they do. Hopefully they do.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
And their wives in the future will appreciate the punishments that you're giving them now for not doing the dishes when, and they'll realize we need to do the dishes.
Exactly. And honestly, punishment these days with kids, it's not like the way I was punished growing up, right? That's a whole separate topic.
Yeah. we're getting close to ending our time here, and you know we are going to have a biblical worldview class coming at the end of June. June 26th, right? It's a Sunday. I think it's the 26th.
I think so.
But you know, we're gonna go into a little more depth on some of the topics. But you know, this form of progressive Christianity has a low view of sin. It believes that you know human nature is fundamentally good. So we're actually we tend to do good things instead of evil. It has a low view of salvation. The Bible's not infallible. Some things like that. We're going to go over that, and we're going to show some videos we found that are really they're good because you're going to hear directly from progressive Christian pastors and hear them preach things. And it's really similar to kind of some of the topics Henry brought up or those statements he read where they sound good until you digest them. And sometimes it's like, well, what does that even mean? It's just kind of like word salad scramble thing. And it's like there's a lot of good sounding words, but what does it mean? Or you take it and you dig into it and you're like, wow, that's really not biblically sound.
Yeah, so hopefully that this podcast is something that is going to wet your tongue and wet your whistle a little bit and get you a little bit interested in really what does this movement talk about? What do they mean when they talk about Christianity and love and really helping us to have that desire to dig in a little bit deeper.
And I think for us as, you know, just kind of overseers for our church. We're like Henry said, we're bringing these topics up because we want to inform people. So we're not trying to condemn or, you know, we're trying to enlighten people into the fact that these kind of views are out there. And when you hear these terms and you hear these certain things brought up, to kind of just get your antenna up to be able to say, oh, I've heard about that before and I got to be cautious or I got to make sure I clarify what they mean by it. Because I think all of these topics we've brought up so far this year in our classes, definitions matter. Definitions matter big time, and that's the big part of the confusion.
Yeah, for a lot of our classes, that's one of the things that we spend a lot of time on is just understanding what the vocabulary is and how it's different from maybe the ways that we've thought vocabulary meant in the past.
Absolutely, yeah. And for me in particular, I just think that now is the time. If you don't know, now is the time for us to really understand and know intimately who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, and what the Bible says.
Amen.
And one of the reasons why I'm just really kind of concerned about this is in Matthew 24:24, it tells us, Jesus warned us already that for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. And they shall deceive the very elect. Who are the elect? We are the elect, the church. Mm-hmm. We will be deceived. And when I read this verse, I always thought that someone would say, oh, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus reincarnate. Come and worship me or come and listen to me. And we see that around the world. Mm-hmm. But as I was learning more about progressive Christianity, what I realized this verse was warning us against also was the redefining of Christ. Mm-hmm. That there would be concepts. There would be a reimagining of the biblical Christ to conform to the world that we live in today, mm-hmm. to what feels good. Mm-hmm. So then I started to realize, I go, this is really deceptive. It's not just, you know, that guy down in Mexico who says he's Jesus and I'm at home going, ha ha, no, you're not. There's no way you could trick me.
Yeah.
I go, this is actually more subtle and more deceptive because this is taking a biblical Jesus, cutting off the pieces that I don't like about him, adding on pieces that I do like about him, and then putting that Jesus back out there, calling him the biblical Jesus, and asking people to be in relationship with that, which is a false Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that really concerns me. So I think this topic is really important, and more than ever now, we need to know who the biblical Jesus is, and we need to be close to that biblical Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because when you mentioned that to me a few weeks ago too, and it had me see it in a different light too, because I had that same struggle of how are people going to fall away at the end? Like that doesn't make sense. And then when you see it this way, where it's so subtle and it's so clever that it sounds like Christianity in so many ways, yet the key salvation issues and like the one you mentioned earlier, that all paths lead to God, that kind of thing. And you start going to that path, it's like, oh, wow. But all the other things sound so good. And it's a lot of the good stuff that we like as Christians. And that I see that as a very deceptive tool that the enemy, you know, we've talked about in our church that he's a good counterfeiter. But he copies and he mimics where it's so close to the real, yet he gets you off course just enough where it could be a salvation thing. And yeah, that's a big topic.
Absolutely, yeah. And my concern really is for the younger generation, because mm-hmm. the younger generation, they have seen some horrific things recently, you know, just in the past 10 to 20 years, and they're searching for answers.
Yeah,
they're looking for the love. They're looking for the peace and the compassion. They're looking for the truth, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this is subtly saying the truth is found in social justice. The truth is found in equity. The truth is found in diversity and inclusion, when they need to know and discover that there is truth in Christ and there is absolute freedom, freedom that you would never experience. Mm-hmm. So my prayer and my hope for the generations and for the elect and for the people is that they would see the biblical Jesus and they would know him, and they would know the word so well that they could not be deceived.
Mm.
And my hope, too, is that the generations searching for that peace and that truth, that they would find it in the biblical Jesus and in the Word of God.
Wow, what a great word, Henry. Thanks for coming on the episode. So coming up, like we said, there's going to be a biblical worldview class at the end of June. So when the signups come up on the website, check it out, sign up. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, you know, I really want to encourage you guys to come out to those classes. It's not a heavy-handed thing. We like to share a lot of information, and we get into discussion groups, and we have a lot of positive feedback. People just thank us because, like, man, I didn't know enough about that topic. And now you've helped me understand it and see it. It's not like we're trying to change your positions. We're just trying to give you guys information. So take advantage of it. I mean, David and I, we're enjoying it. We're learning a lot ourselves, but we're doing it for our church family. We want you guys to be informed just like we are. So, yeah, Henry, thanks for bringing this topic up to us, because when I first heard about it, I was like, I thought it was just kind of tied in with like progressive views, more like politically and socially. And I'm like, I didn't realize how deep this went. And so for me, even to be aware of it, for my kids, for those around me, I needed to educate myself. So thanks for bringing it up to us.
Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks again. So until next time, may you experience God's desire for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.